and talked about somebody, you know, rising. They died and they rose into the arms of their Savior. And that's what happened in our story today. One rises into the arms of God. The other finds himself in a place called hell. And that's our message today. I'm going to say a few things today that might be like, I can't believe he said that. How many have ever been to service before and you would say, I can't believe he said that? Okay. Well, here we go. Here, put your hand down. Now, my wife's on the front row. You only sit on the front row when there's messages that are questionable. Can't you go back up yonder? The teens need help. The nursery. Okay, anyway. Anyway, the message today is hell. And you think it's hot here? Hell. You think it's hot here? It ain't hot here compared to a place called hell. You might be here with us today. You haven't read the Bible much. Maybe not at all. Maybe you've been in a church that has just totally said there's no place called hell. There's nothing like that. You're just supposed to get along with each other and be really nice, and one day we'll end up in heaven. That's the, if you're used to that, that's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what you're going to hear today. Okay? Go hear the Bible. All right? Hell. You think it's hot here. Our little series called Yet Be Hot. Roger the Dodger Johnson's with us, and he's ready to roll. You ready, buddy? You're not ready. He didn't want to do this. No, he does. Here we go. The Bible declares unequivocally, that there is a place called hell. By the way, you can go to our website, Be Out Tomorrow, click on that front page, you can download this PowerPoint. You can do every one of our messages like that. Always down the PowerPoint. You're not going to hear me, you're not going to hear me say nothing. You're just going to see what's on the screen, you're going to see scriptures, and you can dig in a little deeper. So check that out sometime at Fellowship Inglewood, correct? .com. All right? The Bible declares that there is a place called hell. Several things we're going to run through before we get our messages today. These are just some scriptures. Go there sometime, look them up, and these are just a few of them. If you say, well, the Bible doesn't talk about hell, you just go and check it out. Check out where it talks about hell, where it talks about eternal fire, where it talks about damnation, where it talks about the worm dies by, where it talks about there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. There is a place called hell, and you can't make it wish it. You can't wish it away. It's there. What you can do is not go there, okay? That's what you can do about it. You can also try to your best to get other people not to go there. That's what you and I can do, but we can't wish it away. It's a reality. It's going to happen. It is happening. One must utterly reject the Bible and the God of the Bible. If he rejects, there's a place called hell. Well, I don't believe in hell, but I believe in the Bible. No, you don't, Jack. You don't. Let's keep moving. If there is no hell, the Bible absolutely cannot be trusted, period. Listen, if a place called hell that awful is put in there, but it ain't supposed to be in there, and you say it ain't supposed to be in there, and I don't believe it, but even though it's in there, but I believe the Bible and I trust it. That's crazy talk. Can't have it that way. Let's keep looking. Ain't been no fence straddling here. Either there's a hell or there's not. Either the Bible's true or it isn't. In your mind, what is it going to be? The same Bible that said God is love also said there's a place called hell. That's what a lot of people like to say. God is love. Is God love? Yes or no?
Yes.
Sure he is. Is God holy? Yes or no?
Yes.
Sure he is. Is there a place called hell? Yes or no?
Yes.
One doesn't have anything to do with the other. God is holy. God is love. There's also a place called hell. You've got to reject both if you reject either. Jesus Christ spoke of hell more than any other figure in the Bible. So it's not going to fly to think there was just some wild-eyed disciple out there that made this up. It was Jesus that spoke more on hell than any other figure in the Bible. Oh, I love Jesus, but I don't believe in a place called hell. What is that? You can't have it that way. You must conclude that if you do not believe in hell, that Jesus was a liar. And all I ask is people to have the guts to say that. Oh, mm-mm. I don't believe in no hell, but I ain't going to call Jesus a liar. Friend, you just can't have it that way. There is a place called hell. We're going to see it. You must also conclude that Jesus was mentally disturbed for placing such fear in the minds of people. Who would do such a thing? Why? How could he be God's only son if he put that kind of fear in people's minds and created this place that there really wasn't? Isn't that somebody's warped? Yes or no?
Yes.
Sure it is. You must also conclude that Jesus Christ came. He died a cruel and torturous death for something he made up simply to deceive folk. Well, I can sure think of a lot better ways to see people and go through all that. See what I'm saying? You must also conclude that he convinced his followers to believe in such an awful place that many gave their own lives in the preaching and rescuing of souls. They gave their life. Why? To preach the saving gospel of Jesus Christ so people could live forever. They wouldn't go to a place called hell. Amen? None of the previous things we've said this morning is logical. It just doesn't make any sense. If hell is not real as the Bible says it, then our faith is in vain. The Bible is unbelievable. And it's just illogical. Let's keep looking. One other thing, I ain't done yet. Keep looking. A couple things. You may say God is a God of love. Now listen. And would never send his child to a place called hell. How many have ever heard anybody say that before? Surely God's a God of love. And he would never send his child to a place called hell. Well, a lot of people think that every person on the planet is a child of God. Every person on the planet is not a child of God. Every person on the planet is created by God. They're created in the image of God. God is not willing that any should perish on the planet. But not everybody on this planet is a child of God. You understand that? You become a child of God. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be what? Born again to be a child of God. And so, but a lot of people say there can't be a place called hell because God's a God of love and he would never send his child to a place called hell. I absolutely agree with them. God is a God of love. And he would never send his child to a place called hell. But not everybody's his children. Not everybody in this room is a child of God probably today. Not everybody listening to my voice on radio is a child of God. You need to be born again. But, watch this. God would not... He's a God of love. He'd never send anybody he loves to a place called hell. But look what God would do if you think that. He would send his only son, Jesus, to the earth to live a life of obscurity and poverty. God would allow him to be ridiculed, tortured, nailed to a cross, spit on, to die a horrible death. Watch it. So that we can be saved from nothing. Does that make any sense to anybody? Say it. Oh, God would never send anybody to hell because God's a God of love. And, you know, God would never do something like that. But what he would do, he would let his son Jesus, his only son, his one and only son, die a torturous death and die on the cross for us for absolutely no reason at all. Friend, that doesn't make any sense at all. You don't need to deposit your brain when you're a Christian. The Bible is the Word of God. You can read it. You can believe it. You might say, well, I don't understand it, but I've had so many people tell me that my whole life. I've said it before. I'm from Rockingham, North Carolina. If people from Rockingham, North Carolina can understand the Bible, you can understand the Bible. Amen? Read it. It's great for the soul. Amen? It's good stuff if you'll read it. Hell, you think it's hot here. So today we're going to talk about hell. We're going to the Bible. First of all, in Luke 16 is where we're going to be. If you have your Bible, turn to Luke 16. It'll also be up on the big screen so that I can see it because I can't read little things anymore. So notice who's speaking first of all. We're going to be in Luke 16 on down the way, looking at verses like 16 as we get on down. But I want you to see, first of all, who's talking here. And he said unto his disciples. Who is going to be speaking in this passage of Scripture today? Somebody tell me. Jesus Christ. Who spoke more on hell than any other figure in the Bible? Answer. Jesus Christ. And so today, in this passage of Scripture, it's Jesus talking. Let's look at it. Luke 16, 19 through 21 is that classic story of the rich man and Lazarus. Y'all with me? It's that story, rich man and Lazarus. It's that classic passage on hell and on heaven. Let's look at it. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. What's that mean? That guy was filthy rich, had everything he needed. He was fat and happy. All right? Verse 20. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which laid at his gate, and he was full of sores. You can't get much worse off than this guy. Hang in here. And desiring to be fed, Lazarus, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. What's the story here? Let's look at it. There's a rich man. Got all kinds of money. Nothing wrong with that. He's got money, got a nice house, got a nice gate around the house, all right? He's eating, he's faring sumptuously. But there's a poor man who has nothing.
He is laying outside of his gate. Why is he at the gate? To get the crumbs. Here's what we called it when I grew up in Rockingham. We would eat around the table. There was eight of us. Four boys, big boys. And since my sisters aren't here, two big girls. All right? So there we were. Eight of us. But you know what? Our dog, we'd sit there in that back room of that house in Rockingham, North Carolina, and there was a screen door, and right outside the screen door was Snoopy and some other mutts that would come around. And they would wait for after supper, so we'd give them some slop. That's what we call it. Since we didn't have no pigs, we fed the dog slop, okay? So we would give them the leftovers, and they weren't usually much, I'll tell you. But there was always something, it seemed. And we would give the dogs the slop, and they'd eat it. Now, I know that's not politically correct today. You're not supposed to give your dog table scraps. Isn't that right? I don't care what you say. Listen, every night when I have dinner, I've got a sliding glass door. Maybe you've been to our home, and it looks out. And right by that sliding glass door is Oreo. And he's sitting there, and he sits there with his legs crossed like this. He's very patient, and he grins. And after we get done, we always try to make sure that there's something left for that dog, Oreo. Okay? That's how this man lived his life. That's how Lazarus lived his life. He lived his life like a dog. He was outside the gate, waiting for something to come from this rich man's house. And you know who also was out there waiting at the gate for some scraps and slop? Who was out there? Say, the dogs. And see, there's this food chain thing happening, and the dogs were licking the sores on Lazarus. Licking, yeah, I know it's nasty. And see, that's why you got to sit in the back so you don't make sounds. It's distracting. But anyway, listen. Why were they probably licking his sores? I don't think sores taste good. Listen. So that old Lazarus might give them a little something. Okay? That's how he lived. Now let's watch it. Let's look at a couple of things as we move this morning. Let's look and see what Jesus says about riches. It's all over the Bible, but you can see it in this passage as well. We'll just pick up a couple of verses from Luke 16. Different story. It ain't even the same story, but it gives us insight. He says, I say unto you, make yourselves friends of money. Word mammon is money. Of unrighteousness. That when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. We're going to talk about this story some other time. Crazy story in the Bible. It's not even right. It don't even sound right. This guy's using money. He's giving breaks and discounts. It's almost like a crook. But Jesus says, you know what? Guy's pretty bright. He's using money to help himself. And here's what we as Christians need to do. Jesus thinks of money. Jesus thinks of money as not something we should hoard. He thinks of money. We should use money to win people to the kingdom of God. We should use money for eternal investment. Does that make any sense to you? That's what money is for. See, we have a different idea of money than God does. God, the streets are gold in heaven. Gates are pearl. Walls are jasper. Big deal. God could care less. Your money doesn't impress God. When God looks at money and he looks at your money, he looks at, you know, I've given you that money, and that money is to be used for my kingdom, and you ought to use that money to make friends, reach people. When you fall, they'll receive you into everlasting habitation. We're to use the things that we have so that one day when we bite the dust, we go to heaven. Amen? And we've got rewards on the other side. That's what Jesus says about money. He goes on to say some other things. No servant can serve two masters. Either he's going to hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and money. The Pharisees, who loved money, they heard all these things and they derided him. They were on Jesus' back about this. So that's sort of what Jesus believes about money. It's not wrong to have money. Was it wrong for the rich man to be rich? Yes or no? No! Was it wrong for the rich man to have food and when he had scraps, he took them outside the gate and the poor people ate them in the dough? Was anything wrong with that? Nothing wrong with that. He had money. He lived a life. He fared socially, dressed in the nicest clothes. That was his life. That's what he wanted to do, and that's what he did. Nothing inherently wrong with doing that. Luke 16, let's pick up our story. Here's the problem, though. Money's not going to get you to heaven.
Money didn't get this man to heaven. Watch it. It came to pass that the beggar died. What was the beggar's name? Somebody tell me. Lazarus. Somebody tell me the rich man's name. What was it? Just don't know it, do you? The beggar died. He was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And watch it. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and he sees Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Let's keep moving, Raj. Just an old country statement. And that is this. You don't hang around when you die. You go where you're going. It is a bunch of bull that there is a place called purgatory. I can't believe you said that. I believed in that. Tough! There's nothing like that. Listen, Lazarus died, and he was ushered into Abraham's bosom. There's no long break. You see nothing. The rich man died and was buried. At least he had a decent burial, it sounds like, right? And then it goes on immediately and says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. Listen, you don't hang around when you die. You go where you're going. Some people believe in soul sleep. You just sleep and your soul just sleeps. Listen, I know you're looking strange at me, Mike, but a lot of people believe that. And a lot of churches teach that. The Bible doesn't teach that. Here's what the Bible teaches. Absent from the body, say it with me if you know it. Present with the Lord to the Christian. Also teaches you die, you're buried, and in hell you lift up your eyes. You don't hang around when you die. You go where you're going. So you got to get it right now. Amen? You got to get it right now. And getting it right is trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. And we're going to see that in just a minute. Let's keep looking. Hell, you think it's hot here. I've got just some things. You know, when I grew up young, here's what I said. I said, hell yes. I said, hell no. I told people to go to hell. I know Sally is rough. I hate even say it. She says her children are in the building. Listen. How many of us we taught that way? Say. How many of you ever told somebody to go to hell? Let me see. Sure you did. A lot of you did. Now, you weren't like me. Some of you lived a lot better. I'm not saying that to be pious. It's the truth. You did. But that's the way we taught. As if we tell somebody to go to hell to such an awful place, and we'd use such an awful place to say things. And many of you do it today. And you need Christians went to hell, they put the place out. Because, friend, every one of you has a spring of living water in you. What did the rich man ask for? What did he ask Abraham for Lazarus to do? Somebody tell me. To take his finger and just give him a what? A drop of water on his tongue. Can you imagine what the boy would have done with a spring of living water down his neck? All he wanted was a drop, my friend. You have a spring of living water inside of you. It's not your good works that keep you from going to hell. It's your belief in Jesus Christ. And it's that well of water in you that allows you, that makes it where you can't even go to hell. You can't go to hell because you've got a spring of living water spewing up inside of you. Boy, would to God we'd understand that. Amen? So if somebody ever tells you, go to hell, listen to me. You just flip the table and say, you know, hell knows, I can't go. Why do you say that? Because I got a spring of living water inside of me, sir. It springs up unto eternal life. Come on, that's some good stuff right there. You don't have to fear hell. If you're a Christian, you're going to be saved from hell. The Bible says you're saved so as by fire. But you know what? You can do a little better than that. You can also live for the Lord and have some rewards and things like that in this and for laid up on the other side. You don't have to just be saved so as by fire. Finally, let's look and we're finished this morning, right, Raj? We shall never thirst again. Finally. Last thing I'll say is this. Jesus calls me by name because I know him. Can you say that with me? Say that this morning. Jesus calls me by name. Because I know him. I asked you a question at the beginning. What was the poor man's name? What was the rich man's name? Jesus didn't know him. Didn't know him. Didn't know him. Didn't know him. Does he know you today? See, Jesus calls me by name because I know him. I know it. I have chosen to repent of my sin. I have chosen to humble myself. I have chosen by faith, instead of arguing with the Bible, to believe there's a place called hell, to believe there was a cross Jesus died on, to believe that He rose from the dead. I've chosen by faith. It's by His grace that I'm saved today. And I've been given a new name. And He knows me by name today. Does He know you today? If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He'll not call you by name. Here's what the Bible says, and we're done. Matthew chapter 7. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. What's the will of God? People ask that question, what's the will of God? Here's the will of God. For you to know that you're a sinner, for you to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose from the dead, for you to humble yourself and personally receive Him as your Lord and Savior. That's the will of God for your life. There are other things in your life that God will reveal His will to you. Absolutely. It'll happen in your Christian life. But nothing comes before that. That is paramount. That is the biggie. Amen? So listen. People can say, Lord this and Lord that. I preached here and I preached there. Jesus says, guess what? That ain't going to cut it. Have you done my will? Many will say to me in that day, did we not do all this? Verse 23. And here's what. That we, in your name we've cast out devils. In your name we've done many works. Verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, say it with me. I never knew you. Don't know you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Hell is a real place. You don't impress God with your money. That's not the deal. How do you get to know Him? You humble yourself. Hell no, K-N-O-W. Know you're a sinner. Know in your heart that Jesus died on that cross. He rose from the dead. And then finally, have the confidence and peace. Know that He's your personal Lord and Savior. And then when somebody tells you go to hell, you can tell them hell knows. I can't go. Let's stand together.